And it's an interesting sidebar to the Jacob story. It's just one of those things that, you know, it's, I do believe that God's word is, you know, as 1 Timothy says, that everything is spirit breathed, and I believe that God has everything in here that he wants in here, and so I believe this is in here for a reason. And so it's an interesting chapter, and we'll see it continues really part of the Jacob theme. Now Dinah, the daughter Leah, had born to Jacob, went out to visit the women of the land. Remember, Jacob had settled. Most of you come every week. Jacob last week told Esau, "No, I'm good. I'll be there in a little bit." And then he ended up not going back to where Esau stayed in Edom, and instead settled in Shechem there. So Dinah went out to visit women in the land. And, you know, we can, you know, take that in several things. But in other words, she was not restricted just to her home. Now, this is the only place in the Jacob story where a Dinah event occurs. She's kind of passed over in several ways, but this, and we'll see at the end about this, but shed some more light on this. But on one verse on her birth, there's only one on her birth, and she was not listed when he divided the family up at the river. He talked about dividing his sons up and his wives and his all four of his wives, but she's not listed. And she is listed as the daughter of Leah, actually, up until this point. And that's one of seven instances in the Old Testament where lineage is through the female. That's, we only have seven times where it talks about, and she's the daughter of. Normally it would always say the male, this, and she was referred to as the daughter of Leah. And so that's a little bit of background on Dinah. When Shechem, son of Hamor, the Hivite, the ruler of that area, saw her, he took her and violated her. Now, Hamor is a term there. It can mean king, but it says he's a ruler of that area. Most likely it would not be king. Because they, you know, they would be smart enough not to do this to what they're about to do to a king, but he's more than likely just a leader, a tribal leader in this area here. Hamor is, but Shechem is his son. He saw her, he took her, and he violated her. Now, this word here, this phraseology, he saw and he seized in some translations. If we go back to the earlier in Genesis, this is the same terminology of the sons of God, excuse me, where it says they and the females, that they saw and they seized. You can think all the way back to the first of the book of Genesis, and it's Eve and the fruit. She saw and she grabbed, she liked it. And so that's the same thing he did here. Also, we'll talk about it here, is also like Samson. Now, the last part of this reads, he lay with her and he humbled her. And it's not humbled in a good sense. He humiliated her is the word, is how the reading of it is here. When Shechem, son of Hamor the Hivite, the ruler of that area, saw her, he took her and he violated her. In other words, he raped her. He had his way with her against her will. His heart was drawn to Dinah, daughter of Jacob, and he loved the girl and spoke tenderly to her. Now, if you think about it, go back. Well, you can't go back. I'm sorry, go forward. We'll get there one day. In 1 Samuel, one of David's sons does this. He rapes his sister, and then he has hatred for her. Not the case here. He rapes this girl, but he doesn't have hatred for her. Now, he loves her even more. His heart was drawn to her, and he loved the girl, and he spoke tenderly to her. He spoke upon the heart of the girl is what the rendering of it is. This occurs 10 times in the Old Testament, and all circumstances are less than flattering, actually. It's a sense of guilt and repentance when this phrase is used. He spoke tenderly to her. He spoke upon the heart of her. In other words, we feel guilty for something we have done, and so he's talking to her. Think of it like this. If you have children, You know that most of you have seen this or observed it and say, "What, your dad gets home?" And the kids start like, no, mom, please don't tell dad, please. I'll do anything. I'll go clean my room. If you don't tell dad, I can remember doing that myself. And so, you know, this is what it is here. He's speaking to her heart, you know, oh, mom, I love you. I promise. Or, you know, maybe you're telling your sister that so she don't tell either parent. But it's a sense of guilt here that he's doing this. But there is a love that he has for her, according to the most of the translators. And Shechem said to his father, Hamor, look at this, get me this girl as my wife. And again, you'll see it here in the book of Judges. He's just like Samson. There's this foreign woman. Now, Samson doesn't rape his first, but he tells his father, get me that girl. And get her is the same verb that he used in verse 2 when he raped her, where it says that he saw her and he took her, and now he's saying, get me this girl. So again, it's a very passionate verb here, and it's not like he's asking his father. He's like, you get me this girl. So when Jacob heard that his daughter Dinah had been defiled, his sons were in the fields with his livestock, so he kept quiet about it until they came home. Then Shechem's father Hamor went out to talk with Jacob. Now, interesting here, and I'm not casting judgment or aspersions on Jacob, but when Jacob thinks his son is dead, he tears his clothes, he gets on sackcloth, and he cannot be consoled. But when somebody tells him his daughter has been raped, he's like, okay. He just says he's not going to tell his sons about it. And so we don't know that just because the Bible doesn't tell us doesn't mean that he wasn't somewhat angry about it. But you would think that if he acted the same way he did with Joseph, we'd get the same renders. Now, it's not to say that it makes less of a woman's life or her rape. It's just saying that it may have been the way Jacob had viewed it. Jacob is going to show you a little bit later on, he's not the best father in the world. So it's interesting to see that. When this happened with David, at least David was angry over his daughter being raped. Now, David didn't do anything to Absalom, who eventually killed the other guy. But so David was, you know, you can't say he acted perfectly in all this, but David was at least angry when he found out his daughter was raped. Jacob, you know, we don't see that any sign that he's upset over that. So Jacob's sons, verse 7, had come in from the field as soon as they had heard word had happened. Notice Jacob didn't hurry to get them the information, and I'm perfectly fine with that. We don't know how they found out, but he did tell them. You would think, to be honest, he might would even try to keep it from them. I don't know. Dinah might have told him. We don't know. It says they were filled with grief and fury because Shechem had done a disgraceful thing in Israel by lying with Jacob's daughter, a thing that should not be done. But, so we go to the second portion here. But Hamor said to them, my son Shechem has his heart set on your daughter. Please give her to him as his wife. Intermarry with us. Give us your daughters and take our daughters for yourselves. You can settle among us. The land is open to you. Live in it, trade in it, and acquire property in it. Then Shechem said to Dinah's father and brothers, let me find favor in your eyes, and I will give you whatever you ask. Make the price for the bride and the gift I am to bring to you as great as you like, and I'll pay whatever you ask me. Only give me the girl as my wife. Now, it's interesting here that they say, you know, they come to them and they say, hey, let's intermarry. Well, first of all, Jacob's only got one daughter. There's not going to be a lot of intermarrying. It would be Jacob's sons maybe intermarrying, but it's not going to be any, and Jacob doesn't really bring that up. They know that, but we'll see that Shechem and Hamor, their dealings are not the most honest either. Notice what he offers. He offers peace, he offers access to territory, and he offers purchasing land. You can settle among us, the land's open to you, live in it, trade in it, and acquire property in it. He offers all that stuff, but it's interesting. He offers no apology for his son's behavior. You remember when Job gets up and it says he burned sacrifices just in case any of his children had sinned. Now, we're responsible for our own sin. I understand that. But here this man is, Hamor, trying to, you know, work this marriage proposal for his daughter or for his son. His son's done this wicked thing, and he's not, you know, He doesn't go and say, all right, first of all, I would like to say my son made a huge mistake. He's wrong. He deserves death. But he doesn't do that. He goes with this, you know, this thing that, hey, let's just go and barter with him. We'll see later or coming up here that he's probably not the most honest either. So now look at 13 through 17. Because their sister Dinah had been defiled, Jacob's son replied deceitfully as they spoke to Shechem and his father Hamor. Think about that. You're watching a movie and you know somebody's lying because you can pick up on body language. Excuse me, I don't know how women do it. Women always figure things out. I think it's because they watch all these snap shows and all these people killing stuff. If I watch anything with Lori, like whatever, I just watch the show to unfold. Like, I don't want to know who did something in the first 5 minutes. I want to be like, oh, that's how that turned out. And Lori would be like, there's a killer. I'm like, would you just enjoy the show for a minute? And she's right about 98% of the time. I'm like, you know, I think you can pick out these killers. And she watches all these shows, and I've talked to other women. They're like, oh, you know, they do the same thing. So imagine, you know, you're watching a movie, and you see this, and you understand, like, oh, he's lying. You can tell by his face. You can tell by so-and-so. So it says right at the beginning, because their sister had been defiled, Jacob's son replied deceitfully. Another word is fraudulently. Just as in Genesis 27:35 is what Isaac said Jacob did. Isaac said, my son has spoke to me deceitfully, and he came in and he took your blessing. Same word as they use there. So we understand they're being lied to, but they don't know it yet. Well, where would they get this from? Their father had been very deceitful several times in his life. They said to them, we can't do such a thing. We can't give our sister to a man who's not circumcised. That would be a disgrace to us. We will give our consent to you on one condition only, that you become like us by circumcising all your males. Then we will take. Then we will give our daughters. By the way, there's no mention that they have any daughters. The Bible hasn't said that they have any, and Dinah's the only daughter that they have, that Jacob has. But then we will give you our daughters and take your daughters for ourselves. We'll settle among you and become one people with you. But if you will not agree to be circumcised, we'll take our sister and go. So they make this proposal. And they're lying. We know that. They're like, anybody, look. I would say most people in here, most men in here would probably be thinking just like Jacob's sons. At this point, if that happens to our daughter or happens to our sister or happens to our wife, if any of those people had been raped, we would probably be acting, some of us and maybe not all of us, would be acting the same way. Without the Spirit of God interceding, we all would act like that because we would all be upset. So let's go to 18 through 24 now. It says, their proposal seemed good to Hamor and his son Shechem. The young man, who was the most honored of all his father's household, lost no time in doing what they said because he was delighted with Jacob's daughter. So there you see that Shechem really does actually love her. So Hamor and his son Shechem went to the gate of their city to speak to their fellow townsmen. These men are friendly toward us, they said. Let us let them live in our land and trade in it. The land has plenty of room for them. We can marry their daughters. Again, there's not any daughters to marry. And they can marry ours. But the men will consent to live with us as one people only on the condition that our males be circumcised as they themselves are. Want their livestock, their property, and all their other animals become ours. So let us give consent to them, and they will settle among us. All the men who went out of the city gate agreed with Hamor and his son Shechem, and every male in the city was circumcised. Now, notice what when they go to him here, that they do not mention the ultimatum by Jacob. They only say, hey, here's some guys, and my son's wanting to marry their daughter. And, you know, if he marries her, we'll have their livestock, we'll get to intermarry, we'll do all this stuff. But the only way they say they'll do that is this ultimatum that, you know, that we have to do it. But they don't mention the ultimatum. They don't say that Jacob said is the only way. They don't mention the rape. They don't say that, you know, this is why they're bringing this up. is because my son raped him. They don't mention any of that. They act like this is this idea that Hamor, this chieftain, has negotiated with Jacob, the leader of his people, and they go, man, this will be great for all of us. But they said they can't live here because, you know, we're uncivilized. So we need to do this. And then, you know, so that's what they're saying. Now, what do they tell them about? They simply tell them about the material gains. Oh, you know, we'll get their livestock, we'll get their land, we'll get their daughters. The same thing that's going to bring destruction on them still brings destruction on people today. We need a bigger house. We need a bigger car. We need a better paying job. Now, here's the question, and you can ponder on this week. Were they being misleading or greedy or both? Think about it. Were they just lying to them to get them to agree because they knew they had problems? They're like, man, he really wants his daughter, and if I build it up as a financial thing, they'll agree to it, and they have no desire. Or it could be that they really were greedy themselves and go, man, look, this is a great deal for all of us. I'm the chief. I'm going to benefit more than anybody. Or it could have been a little bit of both. We don't really know. But they also failed to mention that he told Jacob he could acquire property. If you go back over here to 10, it says, and you can acquire property in it. Now, when you go back over here, they don't mention that. They don't mention that, oh, we said Jacob could acquire property. So he's being a little bit, you know, double-handed in both ways. So let's wrap it up here. 25 says, 3 days later, while all of them were still in pain, they did the full circumcision, by the way. Circumcision, according to the experts, I don't know. We have a medical person in here, then they might could answer. David might could answer. They say the third day is the most painful on circumcision. I don't know. But we know this is, you know, especially 6,000 years ago. They don't have the same medical procedures they have today, so I'm sure they were in great pain. Two of Jacob's sons, Simeon and Levi, first of all, where were the other brothers at? We don't know why they didn't go. Why did Simeon and Levi take it upon themselves? Were they the only two passionate about this? Were they, you know, did they protect the others? We don't know. But they're not here yet. Simeon and Levi, Dinah's brothers, because she has more brothers, took their swords and attacked the unsuspecting city, killing every male. They put Hamor and his son Shechem to the sword and took Dinah from Shechem's house and left. So Dinah was with them. All right, and they took her and they got out. Now, we see the other brothers come in. The sons of Jacob came upon the dead bodies and looted the cities where their sister had been defiled. Now, that could just be the two, but most people think that means all of them at this point. They seized their flocks and herds and donkeys and everything else of theirs in the city and took it out in the fields. They carried off all their wealth and all their women and children, taking as plunder everything in the house. Is the reason most scholars say that the other sons ran on this, because it would take all of them to do all of that. But they took all the plunder. They took everything with them. And then notice what Jacob says. Then Jacob said to Simeon and Levi, you have brought trouble on me by making me a stench to the Canaanites and the Perizzites, the people living in the land. We are few in number, and if they join forces against me and attack me and my household, I and my household will be destroyed. But they replied, should he have treated our sister like a prostitute? Now, notice this, and this is maybe the most important part of this. Jacob does not reprimand them for being dishonest. He doesn't say, my sons, what have you done? We had a treaty with these people. You lied. You were dishonest. You knew all along what you were going to do. That is not acting in accordance with how we should be acting. If we give someone our word, we should do that. We should not murder someone. Yes, them raping our sister and my daughter was wrong. It was a sin, but two wrongs don't make a right. You killing all these people is not going to make my daughter not be raped. All he mentions are tactical reasons. He reprimands them for that. You brought trouble on me by making me a stench. We are few in number, and if they join forces and attack me, we'll be in trouble. That's all he mentions. That's all he reprimands them for. Think about this, that, you know, put ourselves in this situation. It'd be a horrible situation, and we don't have to go this drastic. Somebody may have talked about you, gossiped about you, started a terrible rumor about you, may not like you, may have done something wrong to you, may have got the best of you in a business deal, anything that you can think of. Our immediate response, I know mine is when somebody says something about me that I don't like or questions my integrity or something like that, my immediate response is to lash out and to attack and go back like the sons did here. But that's not the way God calls us as believers to act, that we are to not be in the world. So we're not supposed to, we are to be in it, but not over. We're not supposed to act like the world. That's the way the world responds. And Jacob is not being a very good father here in teaching them this. But notice this, and then we're done. They replied, should he have treated our sister like a prostitute? No, they shouldn't have, obviously, but that doesn't mean that eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth and we retaliate. But the interesting thing about all of this is that we never hear from Dinah the entire chapter. The entire chapter is about her. It starts with her. She gets raped. It ends with them talking about her. But we never hear what she has to say. We hear from other women in the Bible, but we never hear from Dinah. Why is that? That is because in this society, a male-dominated society, they probably didn't care what she thought. They didn't give her a voice. But it would have been nice to know that, you know, Dinah, what do you want to do? Do you want to go with him? Even though he's violated you, he has a passionate love for you. Would you like to go with him? Dinah might have said, yes, even though he treated me wrong, I will go with him, you know, because he does love me, or I will go with him if it makes peace in this land. We don't know what Dinah would have said. Dinah might have said, Dad, Jacob, I don't want to be with him. Just get me home. I'm not mad. Don't do anything to him. She might have said, Dad, I'm mad. I want you to kill them all. We don't know. But the bottom line is they acted very rashly without talking to anyone, without talking to Jacob, without talking to Dinah, without consulting with people to see what's best for the situation. And when we do that, we get in a lot of trouble as well. All right. Thank you. Let me pray for you, and then we'll entertain any thoughts or comments. Father, we love you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for being good to us. Thank you for your word. It's an awesome word tonight. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for teaching us through the scriptures. Help us to not get in a hurry on things, Father. Help us to not be rash. Help us to not make poor, passionate decisions based on people saying or doing things to us. Help us to not be like Simeon and Levi here, but help us also not to be like Jacob and worry about what's going to benefit us the most, but instead to be focused on what you want, Father. And then we've got Hamor and Shechem, and they're being dishonest as well, Father, and all they're thinking about is financial gains and what's best for them, Father. And no one in this story is innocent except Dinah, and we don't hear from her, Father. So our prayer is that we live like Jesus, and we don't live like people in this story. We thank you that you give us your word, because we're not any better than them, but we're thankful that you give us this to learn from, Father. And help us to be more like Jesus when we leave here tonight. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.